A loss for words.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In just a few minutes, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke will talk to Congress about the economy. I don't know what he can possibly say that will keep Wall Street from sinking further today. Where to begin? The dollar hit a new low against the euro. Wholesale prices climbed almost 2% in June. Inflation's rising at the fastest pace since 1981. Retail sales were worse than expected last month. And one bank analyst said Wachovia's mortgage portfolio is so bad, the bank has little chance of turning a profit anytime soon. And so, the Dow is down 100 points already to 10,955. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 are both down as well. In Asia, the Nikkei finished the day 2% lower. Hong Kong shares dropped 4%. Shares are down 2% in Europe so far. That plan announced yesterday to bail out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if necessary, was supposed to restore some confidence in the markets. It did not. Let's get the opinion of one investor who's been skeptical for some time. Jim Rogers is based in Singapore. Jim, what's wrong with this plan for Fannie and Freddie?
Well, this plan is adding huge amounts of debt to the American government's burden. And last weekend, we ran up $5 trillion, you know, the same amount of debt which it took 200 years to accumulate. The world knows that that's an unbelievable burden added to any government, especially the one which is already deeply in debt. It's bad for the economy, it's bad for interest rates, it's bad for inflation, and it's bad for the currency.
Well, as you say, $5 trillion in debt, that's what Fannie and Freddie control, about half the U.S. mortgage market. How in the world can we let them fail?
Well, it's better to let them fail now, if you ask me, than wait 2 or 3 years when it's going to be $10 trillion, or who knows how much else. Because if we keep doing this, the United States government, who's going to buy American government bonds? If you were a foreigner and you saw that the government added huge amounts of debt annually, would you continue to buy American government bonds? I mean, I wouldn't, and I'm an American.
All right, so if we don't backstop Fannie and Freddie, what do we do?
Well, my view would be we let them fail, and they'll be reorganized in bankruptcy court. We've been having bankruptcies for a couple hundred years and for a few thousand years throughout the world. Let them go bankrupt. Let them be reorganized. We'd clean out the system. I hope we'd put a few people in jail from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and we could start over. I'd rather do that, as painful as it's going to be, than have to do it in 2, 3, 5, whatever number of years it's going to be.
What do you think it will take to restore the confidence of foreign investors?
Well, you've got to change the whole government structure of running up gigantic deficits in America. That's going to cause some very radical changes. You know, most countries throughout history, when they've gotten themselves into financial trouble, have never gotten themselves out unless they had a crisis or a semi-crisis. I'm afraid we're going to be just like every other country, and we're going to have our crisis or our semi-crisis, and then maybe we'll make some needed changes.
All right, Jim Rogers, CEO of Rogers Holding in Singapore. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Anytime.
Now, with the dollar falling today, the price of oil is, of course, rising. It's above $146 a barrel. Marketplace's Steve Henn is keeping an eye on the oil market this morning.
It should have been a pretty good morning if you were hoping for falling oil prices. OPEC and the International Energy Agency both released reports saying they expected growth in global demand for oil will slow. But despite that news, oil prices are still rising. And believe it or not, the U.S. banking crisis may be partly to blame. International investors are now spooked about the U.S. economy. They're selling U.S. assets. And energy economist Joe Duckert says that makes the dollar worth less.
Oil works in a global market. If the dollar is worth less, the price of oil obviously has to go up.
Adam Siminski at Deutsche Bank says the pain isn't being felt equally.
The impact of crude oil price increases has taken a bigger toll on consumers here in the U.S. than it has in Europe.
Since 2000, the cost of a barrel of oil in euros has almost tripled. In the U.S., the price of oil has quintupled. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Tuesday, July 15th on Marketplace.org. Banks will be handing in their latest profit reports this week. Merrill Lynch comes in on Thursday. Investors will have to look at these, even if they don't really want to. Amy Scott tells us what banks might do to turn things around.
Banks struggling to absorb subprime mortgage losses have several options. They can raise money from shareholders by selling stock. That's getting harder to do as bank shares tumble. They can also sell assets. Analysts say Merrill Lynch may unload some or all of its stakes in media company Bloomberg LP and asset manager BlackRock. Last week, Citigroup announced the sale of its German consumer banking unit. John Fisher with Fifth Third Asset Management expects to see other banks slim down, too.
The list of financial institutions that need to raise capital is very, very long.
Analyst Dick Beauvais with Ladenburg Thalmann doesn't expect a big fire sale. He says if you don't count the loan losses, the banking industry is in pretty good health.
At some point, the loan losses will start to come down, and then the earnings will be explosive for these companies.
We're not there yet, Beauvais says. As big banks start reporting their second quarter earnings this week, he's expecting some dismal results. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Okay, here's a company that's not having financial problems right now. You've probably heard of them. They make trench coats in Britain. More now from Stephen Beard in London.
Fears that the credit crunch would hit demand for luxury goods have so far proved unfounded. At least in Burberry's case, sales soared by 22% in the last quarter. The company shifted more than $420 million worth of trench coats and other fashionable clothing. Analyst David Buick is with the BGC Group. He says Burberry has done best of all in countries where conspicuous consumption is growing fast.
They've been hugely reliant, of course, on the emerging world markets, particularly Russia and even places like Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan and places like that where they've done significant business.
China, where the number of millionaires jumped by 23% last year, is another big market for Burberry. But sales are holding up well even in the much less buoyant US. As one analyst says, many consumers still regard luxuries as a necessity. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The U.S. housing market is vexing, to say the least. It should be a buyer's market, but no one seems to be buying. A very tough decision right now. Commentator Lynn Milner is feeling the pain.
My husband and I have been trying to decide whether to buy a house right now. We second-guess ourselves a lot. So we asked our friends.
Yeah. The prices are coming down really fast. You have to buy now, right?
Yeah.
Easy for them to say. A house is a lot of money, and the market has done a nosedive, and it may not be done diving. Where we live in Florida, things are pretty...
Babe, you can't say that on the radio.
It's true. That's my husband, Jesse. He's very cautious, and for good reason. Several weeks ago, remember... We were walking Sam, the dog.
Yeah, I remember.
The three of us walked outside and saw an eviction notice plastered on our neighbor's door. And then, on our way back, a foreclosure notice on another neighbor's door. It's a blight. About that time, we started looking at places. We found this one house, white stucco, blue awnings, shaded with live oak trees. I called the real estate agent.
Paul Kirchman, Realty World, Florida.
I liked the picture on his sign. It was a graphic of the world, as opposed to a photo of someone who smiles too much. Turns out that house was under contract, but we wound up talking. I told Paul we were on the fence. Prices look pretty good now, but what if they're still going down? We don't want to jump in too soon and lose money, but we're also afraid of missing out. We go see him. I ask him whether we've hit bottom.
No, we haven't. There are so many foreclosures that are going to be coming on the market that have not even begun to hit.
Paul thinks the low end of the market, which is our end, will come back first. I hope that's not happening right now and we're missing it. But he says there's no great rush. He'll keep an eye out for foreclosures we might like. We drive away from Realty World and I feel a little less worried. Jesse is thinking about the kind of house we might get.
It might be cool to get one of those houses that are on stilts in San Carlos Park. We could actually, like, monitor the rising ocean as it sweeps under our house. That would be really cool, don't you think?
Okay. Okay.
Lynn Milner is a freelance journalist who lives in Fort Myers, Florida. Share your story with us at marketplace.org. What else can we possibly attribute to global warming? Kidney stones? Unfortunately, I'm not joking. Janet Babin from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio has more on a new study.
The study found that about 30% more of us will get kidney stones because of climate change. Lead author Dr. Thomas Burkowski at the University of Texas at Dallas explains the correlation.
We know from the distribution of kidney stones within the U.S. that higher temperatures encourage stone formation.
Higher heat can cause dehydration, a major factor in kidney stones. The authors estimate that the annual cost to treat these new kidney stone cases will reach $1 billion by 2050.
Well, it's cost of hospitalization, it's cost of surgery, it's cost of physician, you know, office visits, it's cost of emergency room visits. All of those things are taken into account.
That study co-author, Dr. Margaret Sue Pearl at the UT Southwestern Medical Center. Big Sunbelt states like Texas, Florida, and California will likely see the highest increases. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Shipping companies on the West Coast are trying to hash out a new contract with dock workers. You might remember a few years ago there was an ugly dispute. It disrupted trade around the world and caused about $15 billion in economic losses. Jeff Tyler has more on this situation.
Dock workers at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are synchronizing their work breaks, temporarily bringing business at the ports to a halt. Craig Merrilies, spokesman for the Longshoremen's Union, says members are impatient for a new contract.
Folks have responded to some of that frustration in a very measured and a pretty minor way by having their coffee breaks together.
These coordinated coffee breaks cost shipping companies money. Steve Getzig is spokesman for the Pacific Maritime Association.
We've seen productivity fall off about 10 to 15% at what are the nation's busiest ports.
Getzig suggests the timing of this unofficial work slowdown is no accident.
Perhaps this is a way of gaining leverage in the negotiations. We've seen it in past negotiations with this union.
The two sides have a tentative deal on health care benefits, but are still bargaining over pensions, worker safety, and productivity. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
General Motors has restructured how many times now? I can't keep track. But this morning, GM announced another round of moves. It's laying off salaried workers, cutting truck production, suspending its dividend, and borrowing $2 or $3 billion. Here's CEO Rick Wagner.
Let's really go at aggressive plan to generate cash flow improvements, largely driven by actions that GM has direct control over. And you know, let's look at the near-term move.
GM investors want to hear something. Shares just hit a 50-year low. The FAA is looking for air traffic controllers in New York. A lot of people have retired. The FAA is so desperate to fill these jobs, it's turning to MySpace, Craigslist, and some other websites to get it done. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
It's not easy to tempt air traffic controllers to New York. The cost of living is high, and with millions of flights a year to guide, the job is stressful and complex. Laura Brown is a spokesperson for the FAA. She says the agency is casting as wide a net as possible for new recruits.
We're using every kind of advertising vehicle we can right now to reach out to young people.
She says there's no staffing crisis at New York's air traffic control towers. Barrett Burns begs to differ. He works at the JFK Tower and is a member of the Air Traffic Controllers Union.
We have gone from 37 controllers approximately a year to a year and a half ago, and right now we're down to 22 fully performance air traffic controllers.
He says there are plenty of young trainees, but he says it takes 3 to 5 years to become fully trained. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The airlines have a new way of generating income that doesn't involve you paying for pretzels or a seat in the exit row. Starting today, some Delta boarding passes will have, or printed online, will have advertisements on them. Other airlines plan to do this as well. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.